Absolutely.
You believe Jesus died for your sins. So I have a question, if you don't mind. Do you believe he was God?
No.
You don't believe Jesus was God?
I think he was.
You believe he was. What about you?
He was God's son.
Yeah, but he's God in the flesh. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then in John, he said, before Abraham was, I am. I am was the great God I am. So Jesus is truly God. Yes. He's the manifestation of God. So if he was fully God and he was fully man, he came in this world to be beaten, battered, bloodied, bruised, and died for us, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that's how our sins are forgiven?
Yes, sir.
And that's how when we die, we're not going to be judged into weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I have a question that the churches and the culture, well, the culture, forget it, they're outside of God completely. The churches, all of them are also teaching a bunch of lies. How do you apply? Jesus did this work. He's perfect. We need his righteousness. How do you apply it to your life? So do you think Satan believes what I just described, that Jesus was God, he died, he shed his blood, he rose again? You think Satan believes that?
Yeah, that's debatable.
The Bible says he does. It says even the demons believe and tremble that Jesus is God. So belief alone is not going to save you. Did you know that?
You have to.
What do you have to do? We're going through the gospel here.
Read the Bible and put it into work.
Do the next right thing.
Okay, so, yeah, I like how you said that. Read the Bible, put it into work. Jesus' first ministry words were repent. You know what that means?
Ask forgiveness. Don't do it again.
There you go. Ask for forgiveness. You're sorry for it. You turn the other way and you do it different. So if you realize the world, you realize the world that we're walking through, you realize this is Satan's kingdom. You see all the sin and worldliness and carnality.
Music.
And yeah, music, sports, politics, you just said it. Music. God's kingdom is in his people. One day it's going to come back to this earth when he brings a new heaven and new earth. But right now, we're walking through Satan's kingdom. When I go out and preach, I'm kind of sticking my finger in Satan's eye because I'm in his world and he hates it.
Yeah.
The Bible says we must repent. Luke 13:3. Repent lest you perish. And when you repent, you've come to a place where you go, I'm walking this direction. God's that direction. Eternity's that direction. I got to change my mind, change my ways. When God sees that, a willing vessel, willing to obey him. But here's the big cost. Ready? You got to be willing to lose everything. See, American systems teach you, go to church, do an hour and a half service, get water baptized, say a prayer, give some money in the plate, and you're good with God. You know, God does not really require any of that. God didn't ordain any of that. The buildings God did away with. These holidays is coming up. Christmas or Easter's coming up. Good Friday. God didn't ordain those. Yeah. Those are Roman Catholic holidays that they invented.
Yep.
That I just talked to a man from the Baptist church. He goes, well, yeah, we just picked a day. I said, you can't just pick a day.
Yeah.
Who makes days holy, God or man?
God.
Yeah. Christmas is not a holy day we're supposed to even celebrate. The Resurrection Sunday or Easter and Good Friday. Jesus didn't even die on Good Friday. You
just
know when he died?
Worldly desire.
He died on Wednesday and he rose on Saturday because he's our Sabbath rest. So when God sees a willing vessel, you're willing to repent, he will send the Holy Spirit. You'll be born again by the Spirit of God. That's what happened to me. I used to be a worldly, carnal man, drunken fighter.
Yep.
But guess what happened after I'm born again? I didn't keep living like the world. I didn't keep going to man-made church. What do you think I did?
On your own.
I studied the Word of God and I began to pluck out everything that was sinful and against him, and I began to do everything that he said I should do, and that encompassed how I act, how I talk, how I dress, how I spend my money, how I spend my time, how I think. All of that was overtaken by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says if you claim to be a child of God, the Bible says you're not your own. Christ bought you with his blood. Why is it though, if that's true, and it is, the Word of God says it, why is it American Christians live like, well, it's my life, I'm gonna do whatever I want. I go to church on Sunday, but I still do whatever I want. I watch sports, I watch entertainment, I'll dress in pride and vanity, I'll live any way I want, I'll pursue my interests. I've always wanted to be a veterinarian. I'll pursue all my own interests, but yet we're bought with a price. Christ died and shed his blood for us, and he now lives through us if we're born again by the Holy Spirit. So by faith, repentance, you're born again. The fruit that you're born again is not just walking around with a head knowledge or a metal cross, which, by the way, that is a Roman Catholic symbol too. Did you know the word cross in the Bible? Do you know what it actually means?
It's where Jesus died.
Well, it is. It means a tree. It
really?
Means, yeah. Go look it up. The word storos in the Greek, that's Roman Catholic. The word storos means a stake. He died on a tree or a stake, a straight object. He probably died like this, not like this. The Roman Catholics turned the Roman cross into a symbol, and everybody hangs it around and uses it as a religious icon. But the reason Jesus died on a tree, do you know why? Peter says it, Paul says it, the Old Testament says it. It says, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus became a curse for us to take away our sin. That's why it's important to know these things and follow them. So he dies on a tree. The fruit that you're born of God is you learn all these things and you begin to apply them and you walk in holiness and obedience, serving God, seeking the kingdom of God, obeying him. Do you believe, how many sins threw Adam and Eve out of the garden? How many sins killed a husband and wife? That's my wife right there in the corner. How many sins killed a husband and wife in Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira? Do you know that account?
I believe just one.
This is after Jesus rose again. Yes, and sir. Grace has come. God still has a high standard. In fact, Jesus raised the standard of righteousness and obedience to God. In the Old Testament, if you laid with a woman you weren't married to, they'd stone you and they'd kill you. You know what Jesus said? If you just look at her with lust, you've already committed adultery. Jesus raised the standard high, and the only way you and I are going to meet that standard is by yielding to his perfect work. He cleanses us in the blood of the Lamb, and then as fruit that we are cleansed in his, we follow and obey him, not the culture, not the churches. I stood outside the Baptist church here a year ago. Corrupt, easy believe gospel, pagan holidays, worldliness. Half the women come out of the building. You can't even, you got to look down at the ground. Because they're showing their forms off. And let me ask you a question. When a woman paints her face with makeup, what's she trying to do?
Appeal to other people.
Appeal to, and probably trying to appeal to other men.
Yeah.
Unless she's lesbian, which that's going around too.
That's going around.
Right? That's
really
going around
bad.
Too. That's all over. But let's talk about that for a minute. Did you know the Bible says homosexuality is an abomination? That means a disgusting thing to God. It is. You know what else isn't a disgusting thing to God? A lie. Proverbs 6 says this, and a proud look. So I used to be a bodybuilder, and I used to wear clothes, and I used to work out. So when I walked around, people would notice me and go, hey, man, wow, look at that guy. Wow, man, that's a proud look. So when people dress today in a manner to show themselves off, whether it's a haircut, makeup, jewelry, clothing, they're actually an abomination to God because, see, God owns his people. And he says, He actually dressed us in Genesis 3. He put us in tunic-like garments to cover us up. Why do you think he did that? It's a sin covering. Clothing are a sin covering. Why do you think the fourth thing God did after Adam and Eve sinned was he shed blood? What does that remind you of? Jesus. It was an archetype of Jesus to come, and he covers us. Why do you think he did that? Man became... with the proclivity to sin. And so if you look upon a woman who's not covered, what are you tempted to do?
Sin.
But what if she covers herself up and there's nothing to see?
You're a lot less tempted.
God did it to protect us, and he covered us, and he clothed us. So I teach all of this at my website, don'tperish.com, for free. But back to the gospel. By faith, repentance, you're born again. Holiness and obedience. This is the things I'm talking about. All these things you seek. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I have a question. I don't know if you guys go to church or whatever. Do you know anybody in the American church system that like hungers and thirsts for righteousness, and they're stripping their life down? They're following Jesus every day. They're proclaiming him. They're living for him. They're saying, I'm not my... Do you know anybody like that?
The only one that I know was the pastor that worked at the treatment facility I went to.
Okay. All right. So he might have been closer, but if he went to like one of these corrupt church systems, he got to come out of that. He's got to repent and come out of that. So yeah, I don't know about that. But hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And the last part of the gospel, the Bible says you got to endure in that. Like, you guys have jobs?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When you have a job, you got to show up every day, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And what happens if you don't?
I don't know.
It's not once employed, always employed, is it?
Yeah.
So this idea, you get a lot of people saying once saved, always saved. That's ridiculous. No. I'm married. You think I can mess my marriage up?
No.
You don't think
you
I can?
I mean, you can.
I can run off with a hooker in the alley over there, says, hey, come here, you know, and I run off with her, it's going to destroy my marriage.
Right.
So all of these things that God instituted, the covenants, can be destroyed. So you got to nurture and cherish what Christ did. Take it upon your life by repentance. Cry out to God for the Holy Spirit, and if you really have it, he's going to take you to the Word of God, not to the church systems, and he's going to guide you, teach you, convict you, comfort you. And there's two things that you should really be concerned with. The love of God, which I've just been telling you. People say I don't preach about love enough. Every time I mention Jesus' name, that is the love of God. What the kind of love people want is cookies, coffees, donuts. Oh, you're a great guy. No matter what you do, you're an awesome guy. That's the love they want. That's fleshly love. Jesus never loved that way. He called to repentance. And so every time I mention Christ's crucifixion, his shed blood, that's love. So you should ponder the love of God, what he did for you. The other character of God you should really ponder is his wrath, because it's coming. The world is set up for wrath. America is Sodom too. It's a wicked nation. The churches are all part of it. Wrath is coming. So you got to ask yourself, what am I going to do with the love of God? We just talked about the gospel. And then how am I going to avoid that wrath? And in 2 Thessalonians 1, it says he's coming in flaming fire. He came as a baby in a manger once. He's coming back as the fiery lion of Judah. He's angry. He's got a sword coming out of his mouth. He's bringing many with him on white horses, and he's coming to make war. That's what he's coming. Read the book of Revelation. We're working through it verse by verse right now. Ponder the wrath of God. Jesus is angry, and 2 Thessalonians 1 says he's coming to destroy all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. So Satan, I started with Satan. Satan believes what I said about Jesus. He's not obeying God. He's outside. So Satan's going to have the same fate like Americans and churchianity people. If they don't obey God, they believe in him, but they're going to have the same faith. And you know what that fate is? The lake of fire. That's what's coming. So I don't want that from my neighbor. So anybody that stands and listens, I like to pour truth into them. At my website, don'tperish.com, we don't make a penny off it. I support myself. You'll see a young brother, maybe, how old are you guys?
I'm 19.
Oh, wow. You guys look a little older than you are. My brother's like 26 or 27. He's standing in the corner. He's lost his life. We're van dwellers, and we travel in our vans all over the country. We were in Florida all winter because it's nice, because there's events everywhere. Every weekend there's events. Here it's cold and rainy. There's not a lot of events going on. Down in Florida, you can't throw a stick without hitting an art gallery, a farmer's market. So we go down there all winter. We're working our way back north. But ponder that love of God, what he did for you at Christ at the stake, and then ponder the wrath of God that's coming, and then say, what is God going to say to me? One or two things he's going to say to you on Judgment Day. Well done, good and faithful servant. You heard my word. You lost your life. You followed. You obeyed. Or you're going to hear, away from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. That's a person that keeps sin, Matthew 7. So ponder that. I said a lot. You guys have any questions?
No, sir.
Hopefully, there's some fear of God's been put in you. And hopefully, that's like, wow, he reminded me about the love of Jesus. And that's what Paul talks about in Romans, the goodness and the severity of God. The police drive by and they see you and I talking. I love to use this example. They drive by, we wave. What do? They wave. They're nice. Hey, officer. But if you and I start fighting and we're pummeling each other, what's the cop going to do? He's going to pull over. He's going to bring out billy clubs. He's going to bring out a taser gun. He's going to bring out a shotgun. He's going to call 50 guys more like him if he needs to.
Yeah.
Love and wrath. So you got to ponder that. Right now we're in the grace of God is right now, but the wrath is coming in the tribulation. It's coming. You guys remember COVID?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that was nothing. That was a warm-up to the Antichrist system that's coming, where he's going to lock everything down. He's going to persecute people. They're just putting things in place. You know about the end times, tribulation Jesus talked about, the Antichrist rising. It's coming. Men like Elon Musk, I'm not telling you he's the Antichrist, but men like Elon Musk are setting the stage for one guy to rise up. Have you noticed, like, if you ever watch any of the, a little bit about him, people are asking him to solve world hunger. Oh, solve the problems. Can you take us to another planet to keep humanity alive? They're looking to one man. Now he's putting a microchip in people's head so you can talk to your computer. Okay? They're doing all these strange things. He's setting the table for the Antichrist, an evil man to rise up. And the world is going to be so deceived, they're going to follow him because he's going to offer peace and safety.
Watch out for those false prophets.
And if you don't think that can happen, 70 years ago, a man called Adolf Hitler rose up. A wicked, diabolical man. Do you know millions followed him because he offered peace and safety? And if a few things would have been different, I think God's hand was on it, he would have taken over the world. So
I'll fix your problem.
Yeah. So the Antichrist is coming. The world is being set up for it. That's why we go in the streets and preach while it's daytime. They're going to shut everything down one day. During COVID, we were still out preaching, and people were like, what are you doing? We're like, we're warning. We had signs that said, fear God, not a virus.
I like that.
I love that.
And we were traveling all over preaching. It was weird. There was like hardly anybody in the streets, but we talked to a couple people walking by. Everybody's talking to a mask. I'm like, I can't hear what you're saying. You're talking to a mask. All this foolishness that went on.
Oh,
but ponder all of that. that I poured into you.
Yes,
and if you go online, go to don'tperish.com for free, thousands of resources, test yourself with the gospel, and then decide, how am I going to spend my young life? Life goes by fast. I remember it seemed like yesterday I was 19. I'm 61. Life goes by like that. And it probably goes by slow for you now, but once you hit 30, it goes real fast. You ask my young brother, he's almost 30. He'll tell you from 21 to almost 30, he's like, wow, it went by fast. But what will you live your life for?
I would much rather live it for the Lord.
Amen.
Than all these worldly things I used to be around.
Amen. With. Exactly. And what's going to happen? See, you're living, I was just preaching a while ago, you're living for that which is incorruptible. Meaning everything we do for Christ and His word and His truth is incorruptible. One day we get a crown of glory. That's awesome. But if we live for the corruptible, money, fame, pleasure, fun, sensual things, God's coming to burn all that away. And the culture and the churches are part of that. When Christ comes back, He's going to burn up the Roman Catholic Church, the Evangelical Church, the Lutheran Church. There's the cult of Jehovah's Witnesses standing right there. I'm about ready to go over and give them a loving rebuke. I do it every time I see them. Christ is going to burn all them away. He said, follow me and worship in spirit and in truth. So whatever is not the truth is not worship of God.
Right.
Make sense?
Yes, sir.
You guys have been awesome.
Thank
you come
so
here today
for
just
this.
For you.
Man, I'm glad that you're out
email
here.
Email me anytime.
I got your card.
If you ever need help, a Bible study with you, encourage you in the faith, come out of the world, come out of the churches, set your course towards Christ.
Yes, sir. We love what you're doing.
Love you, neighbors. God be praised.